Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Sunday night webinar brought to you by TCM World Foundation as part of our distance learning series. My name is Jill Emanuel, and I'm very, very excited to be a part of this webinar with our friend Dr. Andy Rosenfarb tonight. For those of you who are not familiar with Andy and his work, he's a doctor of naturopathic medicine and a licensed acupuncturist with a world-renowned reputation in integrative vision care. So tonight, he'll be talking with us about healing your eyes with Chinese medicine and give us invaluable information on preventing and healing eye problems and diseases. So I could go on so much more in talking about Andy's achievements and work, but I think it makes the most sense to have him tell us himself. So Andy, hello and welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Hey, Jill, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here, and I love the opportunity that you guys have created to do this.
Well, we love the opportunity that's been created and the fact that you've given us the opportunity to have you here as well. So thank you again. So I think why don't we just start off by having you tell us more about who you are, and then we can take it from there and see where our conversation leads us.
Okay, great. So, yeah, as we stated, I'm an acupuncturist and a naturopath. I've been practicing Chinese medicine and naturopathy for about 21 years. I graduated from Pacific College in San Diego. Then I went to China to further my studies. Initially out of school, I wasn't very clear about what I wanted to do, but I always knew I wanted to specialize in something. So out of school, I was looking into specialties. I started with allergies. I was doing a lot with that. And then I was looking to work with a lot of cancer patients and had some experience with that. And then about 2 years into practice, I really fell into this Chinese medical ophthalmology and integrative ophthalmology. And it came about a lot because I had a few patients that had glaucoma and macular degeneration. It was interesting. At the time that I started to get into this was actually the same time I had been doing postgraduate training with Grandmaster Liu at his clinic in Manhattan. So I was just starting to get my feet wet with treating eyes and starting up the specialty, and I remember having conversations with him and, I was kind of complaining to him. I was like, there's nothing really in the books. I don't really have more than like a page and a half of notes from acupuncture school on treating eyes. So I started researching and I went to China and we had conversations and he gave me a lot of guidance and it just snowballed over the last couple of years. I just fell into it and I got more passionate about treating eyes and specifically neurodegenerative conditions like glaucoma and macular degeneration and Stargardt's and diabetic retinopathy, stuff like that. And, just books came out of it and research came out of it, and it's awesome. It's become an absolute passion of mine, bordering on obsessive-compulsive at times, but I love it. You know, I absolutely love it.
I hear that passion. It's wonderful to have such enthusiasm. I really would love to hear, since you know so much about this topic, what are some of the major concerns that you see in eye care in our present day?
Well, that's an awesome question, and it is some of the content we're going to be covering, when we do our conference. One of the biggest problems is my purpose is that there are people who have neurodegenerative vision conditions, like they're diagnosed with glaucoma, which has some treatment in conventional medicine. They're diagnosed with genetic night blindness, like retinitis pigmentosa. You have Usher's syndrome, which is the added benefit of having hearing loss and progressive vision loss. Macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy. There's really nothing, little, if any, that's available to these patients or these individuals who are diagnosed with these conditions. So whether they're genetic, whether they're vascular, whether they're autoimmune, isn't really clear to a lot of people. They know that a lot of these conditions, there's a genetic component. But the problem is that there's no treatment. There's no conventional treatment for a lot of these conditions. Even with glaucoma, here's a strategy for managing the pressure, but is anybody who knows anybody with glaucoma or has glaucoma, managing the eye pressure just isn't enough. People continue to lose vision. So it's a real problem. People are going blind and there's no effective treatment and acupuncture and Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine and functional medicine provide solutions to help people at times recover some lost vision, and then more importantly, to help keep their vision long term. And I've had patients that I've been working with now, because I've been doing this so long, you know, 16, 17, 18 years, who are supposed to be totally blind right now, but they committed to care in an integrative strategy using things like acupuncture and herbs and supplements and lifestyle strategies, along with whatever their conventional ophthalmologists and retinal specialists are doing with them. And the results are they're preserving their vision. So, you know, the biggest problem is that people are being told that they're going blind and that there's nothing that's available to them. And that is a half-truth. And it's a half-truth in the sense that conventional medicine doesn't have anything or little, again, to offer, but conventional medicine is a medicine, not the medicine. There's a lot of different medicines, as we know. So they're misguided and misled to believe that there's nothing that can be done, and that is certainly not true.
Yeah, what I've heard often is that in conventional, I mean, regular medicine, they're treating the symptoms and not treating the root cause. And what I'm hearing you say is that your work with vision patients is actually going for the root cause and seeing really great results.
Yeah, well, they don't even have treatments. So, yes, a lot of the time, certain medications, like, for example, you take a Tylenol or an Advil, it addresses the headaches, but you need to look at what's causing it. Are you dehydrated? Are you stressed out? Did you take something like a stimulant, too much coffee? Do you have neck tension? So, yeah, you know, you can use things like Advil or painkillers or something like that, but if you need to get out of crisis, but you also need to understand what the underlying cause is and manage those as well. And the thing with these eye conditions is there isn't even any treatments. So you can't even do something they're doing research with stem cell and gene therapy and stuff like that, but they don't even have something to treat the symptoms. So we're kind of at nothing, which, you know, it puts us in a unique situation.
Yeah, nothing doesn't really offer a lot of hope, doesn't it?
Nothing does nothing is nothing.
Nothing. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the ways that you treat these certain conditions that you've named? We'd love to hear some details or how your approach goes for actually offering hope and offering solutions for these degenerative eye diseases.
Absolutely. So one of the benefits of, I had mentioned earlier that we did research with Johns Hopkins University in Nova Southeastern on one of the eye conditions called retinitis pigmentosa, which is genetic night blindness. So I was really excited to be asked to develop the acupuncture protocols for that procedure, and I didn't realize what we were going to find out, and I didn't realize the extensive nature of the mechanism of actions. That basically means how acupuncture works that we're going to learn so much more about. So in the research study, we were doing things to try to find out more how the acupuncture is working. Of course, we wanted to know if it worked or it didn't work, but also how it works. So we're using acupuncture as one of our main therapies, and acupuncture, as we know, increases blood flow, and we've demonstrated that. So we're increasing blood flow to the eyes, to the retina, to the optic nerve, to the eye muscles to help relax them, and we're also stimulating the nerve cells. We're stimulating the retinal cells. We're stimulating the cells in the optic nerve, and there are certain acupuncture points that when we insert the needles into these points, or do acupressure or laser acupuncture or whatever, it actually stimulates the visual cortex of the brain. And this has been, you know, demonstrated through functional brain scans and MRIs and stuff like that. So the real cool thing about technology is we can actually see the physiological impacts of acupuncture and other things like Qigong and these exercises that we're doing. So we use modern technology to show the efficacy of what we're doing. And in addition to acupuncture, we'll work with nutrition and specific supplements, depending on which condition patients have, Chinese herbal medicine, diet therapy. Again, eye exercises, stress management is critical. You know, I know that's one of the things that Grandmaster Liu talks about, and one of the earlier things that I learned too, is the unbelievable impact that stress has on our systems, especially when we're dealing with neurodegenerative conditions. So doing things, learning like meditation and Tai Chi and Qigong and anything that's going to help balance the body's energy and it's create a homeostasis is going to benefit. So it's really, we have our acupuncture, we have our herbs, we have our supplements, we have our diet, we have our exercises. It's really a lifestyle process that we're trying to get people to change, because these diseases are systemic. Even though they're showing up as eye diseases, the majority of them that aren't traumatic or, you know, God forbid you get like a direct injury to your eye, they are systemic and degenerative in nature. So we need to look at that.
Yeah, I, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's there's so many different ways to see this. There's lifestyle changes that you need to make. It's a huge change overall. I'm wondering if you're seeing any other kinds of things that people are complaining about that are associated with the vision care problems that you see, such as retinitis pigmentosis. Are people, do you see like patterns in some sort of way of other things?
Well, yeah, first and foremost is screens. So it's going to be hard to, I'll try to explain because we don't have a visual on this, but screen use, computers, tablets, laptops, TVs, all of our devices that we're all using in excess. I mean, even if you're, grandparents were even using them a while, you know, they're everybody's using them. So there are some drawbacks, and a couple of drawbacks are that we relate them to the vision are these. So when you're on your devices, most people jolt their necks forward, like they're trying to look at the screens, and their shoulders are kind of up in their ears. So posturally, we develop this thing called tech neck that they're actually creating a medical diagnosis for. Where your neck, the curve in your neck that's supposed to be C-shape is actually straightening out. So there, that area is going to generate a lot of tension. Also, when we look at screens, we generally don't blink as much. So we blink on average of like 12 to 15 times per minute. When we're looking at screens, we blink like maybe 3 to 5 times because our eyes are kind of like wide open and glued to the screens. So we start to get things like dry eye. Also, we have electromagnetic frequencies, and we have the blue light that comes off the screens. So that's going to stress the eyes out, too, the little flickering, the hyper-flickering that comes out. So we need to use things like blue light protection eyewear. Our glasses have blue light protection, or we can get glasses now off Amazon that are like $20, or you can get the screen filters to screen out the blue light, which is also going to be very helpful. The other thing that we do, especially when people are stressed out, when they're reading emails or checking or doing work online, is they breath hold. So they're like, and they just sit there and then they exhale. And they do that repeatedly while they're on doing work online, especially if it's a little more intense. So we have the combination of your neck jolted forward, your shoulders up in your ears, you're not blinking, you're holding your breath, and you got the EMS and blue light coming at your eyes. So that's a recipe, you know, magnify that to, you know, 8 to 10 hours on screens. At minimum, people spend at least 4 hours on screens generally. That's you know, recipe for screwing our eyes up a little bit. So we need to take more breaks. So a couple things that I recommend for that are to put little stickies up on your computer that is to, say, blink. We want to, again, use blue light protection on our screen or on our glasses. We want to watch our posture, and more importantly, we want to take breaks, usually every 20 minutes, if we're on screens or on computers, or, you know, just take a break, let your eyes rest, because our eyes are not meant to be fixed, looking at one-dimensional objects or a two-dimensional object, you know, for an extended period of time. Our eyes are meant to be constantly scanning and moving around, so the muscles start to get tight as well. So that would be the most modern condition and pattern that I've been seeing these days.
These are such good and amazing recommendations because I don't think people are aware of all the different things that are going on when they're looking at their screens or when they're, how much it's affecting their body, their eyes, their even their stress level, their mental state, anything along that line. I'm curious if you know how you hear about people are saying don't, you know, make sure you get off the screen by a certain time at night or don't go on too early in the morning. Do you actually recommend that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. A, because it's a stimulant, right? So late at night, we want to start winding down. So the last, you know, obviously people who are kind of holistically minded have probably heard through various teachings or articles that the last thing you really want to do is watch the news before you go to bed, because the information is stimulant and it's usually a shock value. The reason that we don't recommend that, I never recommend watching the news anyway, because if it's, you know, important enough, you'll hear about it. But that's a whole other lecture. But the idea is we don't want to stimulate our brains too much. We want to help relax it. So we don't want to be on screens or flickering, or, you know, the LED lights that are coming off screen, the blue lights are going to stimulate our brains. And especially if it's stressful or exciting, or, you know, just, you know, even going through Facebook, or, you know, they've designed this to be hyper-stimulating and actually addicting, to, you know, create addictions to do this. So we really want to stay away from that. You know, again, we all, like, again, this is something else I learned from Grandmaster Luz, we all want to be in bed by 11. You know, that's kind of the thing that we want to aim for. Hopefully a little earlier, but definitely you should be sleeping by 11. So if you're stimulating your mind, you're on a computer or you're watching TV and you're overstimulating, that can interrupt your sleep, and obviously we need sleep for repair and recovery. And the other thing that happens is if you're watching too much screens and, you know, you're kind of addicted to watching, like, YouTube, you know, either good stuff, even, like, self-help stuff, you know, really you listen to, like, lectures too late, it starts stimulating your mind, you start having questions and stuff like that, or you start, you know, getting nervous or concerned about your conditions. And we usually dream the most about the thing that we think about most before we go to bed. So whatever's on our mind before bed, we're going to be thinking about most while we're sleeping. So to that, we want to make sure that we have good, relaxing, positive things put in our head. And most of the stuff online, you know, unless we go to, you know, positive stuff, but the stuff that's being thrown at us, you know, on social media usually is not positive. So to answer your question, that was a long answer to a short question. We basically want to start winding down after dinner. I tell my kids, like, after 6 or 7 o'clock, the latest, like, we're all off screens in my house pretty much. If we want to watch a relaxing movie, my kids want to watch TV sometimes at night, we'll put on, like, the Nature Channel, or watch, like, you know, Discovery Channel or Planet Earth or something like that, just something, like, nature-oriented that's kind of soothing to the mind. That's that.
We would only all do that. It would be a different world.
It's creating habits, you know, it's just like saying no, like, it's a discipline, you know, it's easy to get caught, you know, in the elections or what else is going on, you know, you want to look and see this, or, you know, you get addicted to seeing the drama, and it's just about, it took me a long time, I was a news junkie, and it took me a while to just get out of the habit and say no, and just not listen to anything that was junk, you know, visually or auditory. That's junk for your mind. That's just basically going to cause you drama and upset.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're talking about screens and we're talking about stress, but these are all things that affect our vision. And so, you know, one of the things I was certainly going to get into, and I think we already sort of have gotten into it, is suggestions for preventing eye illnesses, or at least managing them more effectively. And so these are certainly some of the suggestions I would imagine that you have in that area.
Well, yeah, of course, because dry eye is rampant now. Like, dry eye is such a big problem that people are having, again, mostly because of screens. People are having more allergy symptoms and more eye irritations, and we're not hydrating very well. So we're actually creating a product that we're going to launch in 2018. I've been trying it in clinic, an eye moisturizer, a holistic natural eye drop that we've been creating that we've tried for the last year in clinic that works really well. So we're going to have a good solution to that. But generally, eye health, you know, it's people aren't taking care of their eyes very well. I mean, anything can affect your vision, and that's, you know, I teach my classes to acupuncturists, and we do our general eye health classes. We learn that the eyes are susceptible to stress from everything. So we're talking about stress. We're talking about diet. We talk about breathing. We talk about stretching. We talk about, you know, our elimination systems and stuff like that. Any of those systems that go wrong, the nervous system, lymphatic system, the circulatory system, we can have a consequence and an impact on our vision. So if you're like, oh, yeah, well, like, bad digestion, diabetes, you know, heart disease. Heart disease is very closely related to macular degeneration. It's actually the same disease with a different expression. So these systemic age-related diseases are going to often show up in our vision in things like cataracts. So the body will undergo these processes of extreme oxidative stress where we have free radical damage. We know that sunlight can accelerate that. We get sunburn, we get moles, you know, it's not good for eyes, we get cataracts. So we want to protect our eyes with sunwear, you know, use UV protection and blue light protection eyewear, like all the time. And not, there's a difference between the front glasses that just kind of are flat front and the wraparounds. They have some really cool wraparounds now. We're not basically, we used to just have those funny blue blockers that went over your glasses. Now we have some pretty cool, now we have some pretty cool glasses that you can get. There's Oakley's or you can get prescription. So we want to make sure, because the UV lights bounce all over the place, that we have good quality wraparound sunglasses that'll keep the UV rays, especially in the summertime or by the beach or by a lake or by the ocean or out on a boat or on a cruise where the sun is there and it's bouncing off the water. Or even snow, you know, people ski and snowboard a lot around the mountains. The UV rays bounce off the snow and the ice. So we really need to protect our eyes a lot more. The sun's not like it was, you know, when I was a kid. I'm 45. We never wore sunblock. I didn't get sunburn. I can't go outside for more than 15 minutes now without putting a sunblock and hats and stuff like that. It's different. The sun is a lot stronger. The ozone levels aren't as strong and protective as they were. So that shows us, because we're sunburning faster, our eyes are also going to undergo a lot more stress from solar energy and UV radiation and blue light. So we need to protect our eyes from the sun.
Absolutely. You know, I want to go back to one thing you said earlier, which I want to hear a little bit more about, which I think our listeners would really be interested in, which is you said there's a relationship between macular degeneration and heart disease, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Well, a lot of the work that I've done, so most people when they go to the eye doctor, and not necessarily just the eye doctor, but conventional medicine has become pretty fragmented and isolated in terms of specialties. So you basically go to your heart doctor, you go to your eye doctor, you go to your endocrinologist if you have diabetes, you go to your orthopedic, you go to your OBGYN, and there's not the best communication. It's getting better because we're having electronic medical records, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be reading them. So where I'm going with this is that when you go to your eye doctor, because let's talk about that because that's the topic of conversation, they're not really looking at the systemic nature or possibility that your eye condition does have a systemic cause. So what that means is they're not looking at blood work. They're not really getting too much into your health history. You're just there for your eyes, and they want to know what's going on with your eyes, and they're just going to do something to treat your eyes, whether it's LASIK, corrective lenses, eye pressure medication, giving your retina, repairing a detached retina, cataract surgery, so on and so forth. So not really looking at the systemic nature, nor do they really care. That's not an attack that's coming from very good friends of mine who are eye doctors, glaucoma specialists, and retinal specialists. They're like, look, you know, we don't really care. We just want to help them see better, and that's it. So over the past 20 years, I spent a lot of time looking at blood work in doing a lot of lab work on my eye patients to inquire, and in addition to using our Chinese medical diagnosis, pulse and tongue, and our inquiries and palpations to look at the labs and the internal state of what's going on, and we've made a few correlations. In addition to that, I actually talked to my patients. I asked them about their family history with other conditions that are going on because I want to look for a pattern. Medicine, health conditions come about in patterns. And that's a big distinction between Chinese medicine and conventional medicine. So we look for these patterns. Some patterns that I have found are that, and again, as we had mentioned, that things like macular degeneration, specifically age-related, has a direct correlation to cardiovascular disease. And how do I know that? Because 80 to 90% of my patients with macular degeneration are on high blood pressure medication, or they've had stents, or they've already had some type of heart attack, or their congestive heart issue, or there's a family history of heart disease, they either have had it or there's a family history, and most of them are on like hypertensive medications and blood thinners and so on and so forth. So if you think about it, it's really the same thing. Macular degeneration is the accumulation of drusen, which is basically cholesterol and calcium and some protein, in the macula in the retina. It deposits there, just like cholesterol deposits on our arteries. So it clogs things up. So it's clogging up the heart, just like it's clogging up the eyes. So in my books, I can get into the whole treatment. I don't want to get into that now because people start saying, well, shouldn't I just take statins? Because statins lower cholesterol, and other words, it doesn't work. And I could go into a whole discussion about why, but let's not, that's kind of lengthy. But the point is that, yes, there is a correlation in most cases between age-related macular degeneration and cardiovascular disease. Other conditions like glaucoma, Stargardt's syndrome, Usher's, retinitis pigmentosa, cone rod dystrophies, there is a systemic, often, I'd say about 60 to 70% of the time, there are autoimmune-related conditions. I believe a lot of these conditions have an autoimmune component, and that isn't even anywhere remotely close on the radar with conventional medicine. And I know that because, again, I've checked retinal, we're checking antibodies, anti-nuclear antibodies, and most of these folks who have these conditions have a family member or have some other form of autoimmune or allergies or food allergies or environmental allergies, some other immune issue, system with their immune system. So that is not definite. It's just what I've observed and what's highly probable. And I get good results when I go after the immune system. So we treat the eyes, but we go after the immune system in those cases. We go after the eyes in macular degeneration, but we deal with heart-healthy strategies. So people are, you know, taking fish oils and taking things like resveratrol and CoQ10. All that stuff that's going to be good for your heart, all the heart-healthy diet stuff, is going to be also good for the eyes. So there's a lot of these different types of correlations that we've made in terms of understanding the systemic and the systemic nature of a lot of these eye conditions.
I love that you're highlighting the systemic nature of who we are and how all of these seemingly separate illnesses are actually very much related, because we are one person, not a whole different set of an eye here, an ear there, a heart there. So it's really, it just goes to show you, if you put it all together, it actually just becomes a very, very, almost potentially easy puzzle, or maybe complex, but some kind of puzzle that can be solved, but they're all linked. So that's really, it's wonderful to hear some of these connections being made.
Yeah. It's you just got to do some work, you know, it took some time, but it was just creating the space to ask questions and just have an interest. Like, what is going on here? It's just questions and questions. And I wasn't comfortable treating these eye conditions, not knowing what's going on. And I wasn't satisfied with, oh, it's just genetic. Oh, you're just getting old. You know, no, like I didn't buy it because I had that question mark and that discontent with those answers because of my education in Chinese medicine. Because Chinese medicine has a premise that there are systemic underlying causes or root causes to every disease. And we have our root causes and we have our branch symptoms. So we have our eye diseases that show up that are our branch symptoms. And then we have our underlying root causes, and you have to treat both. And originally when I started treating eyes, I was just treating the eye diseases. I learned some acupuncture points. I were getting, you know, good results. People were seeing a little bit better. But guess what? They were going back. And it would last like a couple of weeks to a couple of months at most. And I just got very frustrated because, A, I wanted to get better results. And, B, I kind of felt like I was ripping my patients off. You know, they get really psyched. They're like, oh, I'm seeing better. You're the greatest. And then a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, they're like, oh, you're the worst. I thought, you know, it's going to work. You kind of gave them hope, and then it went back. And I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to give them lasting benefits. And in order for me to deliver that required me to have to go in and start doing deep dive research into what could have been or what could be these systemic patterns and underlying causes for these diseases. So fast forward 15, 20 years, this is what I came up with. So we're trying to educate the general public, acupuncturists, and you know, slowly chewing on a couple of ears of conventional docs who are interested in learning that and interested in learning more about what we're finding. So
now, you know, what I'm also hearing is that, you know, you're offering solutions where the patient doesn't get blamed, or the patient, not because the patient's old, or the patient's, you know, has this genetic, you know, link to bad vision or something like that, that are just very simple and non-descriptive answers to very complex problems. And so you're offering, hey, no, there's actually a lot more here to look at, and you actually can fix this. And that's certainly just, that's a huge different state for a patient to be able to take home, and that state in and of itself creates healing. So that I mean, it's just a remarkable difference in that way. I'd love to hear, just, I know we're coming towards the end of the webinar, but I'd love to hear a little about your work with glaucoma, since that's a very common condition that people have, and what you're seeing in what you do in treatment.
Okay, so it took me a while to be able to simplify this, but here goes. So when somebody gets diagnosed with glaucoma, typically the eye pressure starts to increase, and you go to your glaucoma specialist or you go to your doctor and they check your eye pressure and like, oh, you have high eye pressure. You're pre-glaucoma or you're early stage glaucoma, or you're glaucoma if they do testing and they find that you're losing some night vision or some peripheral vision. So the management strategy for that is to reduce the eye pressure. And they'll do procedures, surgeries to help lower the eye pressure. And they'll give things like eye drops to help lower the eye pressure. The entire conventional approach towards glaucoma is completely and entirely focused on the management of eye pressure. Now, as we stated before, that's great because eye pressure is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, factor that can accelerate optic nerve damage, which is associated with glaucoma. We also know that it's not enough, and we know that because we have patients who are on eye drops to lower the eye pressure. We know that there are patients who've had trabeculectomies and iridotomies and SLT procedures to reduce their eye pressure and keep it low. And guess what? These people still continue to lose vision. So what that tells us is that there are other factors that are contributing to the progressive acceleration, degeneration of the optic nerve. So where I am and where with my treatment and when I do my training is I tell my students this and I tell the patients this. We're going to pretty much let your eye doctor deal with the eye pressure if that's an issue and they're having success with that, barring the few patients who are intolerant to eye medications and procedures and stuff like that, and we're kind of borderline and we're going to try to give it a go to drop the eye pressure with acupuncture, which can be done sometimes. But our entire focus is on the optic nerve. We let the doctors deal with the pressure. I focus on the optic nerve and the other factors that are contributing to the degeneration of the optic nerve and the progressive vision loss. That is going to be different and vary from person to person. Sometimes it's inflammation. Sometimes it's oxidative stress. Sometimes it's poor blood flow. Sometimes it's autoimmune. Sometimes it's secondary to another health metabolic condition going on. Sometimes there's infection. Sometimes there's things like MS. Sometimes they have no idea what's going on. It's just an optic nerve atrophy situation. So we got to get into protect the health and function integrity of the optic nerve and also, again, find out what's driving this thing. Why is the vision getting worse? In management. So this whole thing is not a cure. It's not a treatment in terms of correcting all the vision. It's a management strategy. We're finding out what's going on. We're identifying all the factors that can be contributing to the degeneration of the optic nerve or any other parts of the eye, and we're managing that. We're identifying it and managing it and helping to preserve the integrity of the optic nerve so that people can keep their vision long term. How's that?
Wow, it's impressive. It's you started off by saying people are told there's really no solution and there really is something to preserve vision for such a much longer time. And what more is that really in the end? You know, that people want to be able to see. So that's, and I, having heard about glaucoma for a long time, it's always been like, oh, if you get it, that's it. And to hear that there's, it's not it is really just, it's such wonderful news to hear that. So I'm so happy to hear that. I'm trying to think if there's anything, I have one more question for you before we wrap up. So I was thinking about, one of the things I'm encountering a lot lately are people starting to wear reading glasses, and they get to the point where they're like, oh, vision's going, got to put on the reading glasses, and that's it, I'm aging, it's getting old, it's over. What are your thoughts on, is there a way to actually keep our eyes healthier for a longer period of time, and if so, how?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm 45, as I said, so we kind of hit that around 40. You kind of know anybody who's kind of around that age because they start, like, pulling their phone out and holding things a little further away. And, you got to take – if you wear glasses or contacts, you got to take them off to actually read something. So it's a thing that happens with eyes. The muscles – I was actually on Dr. Oz about 2 years ago, and this is exactly what we talked about. We talked about the aging eyes and what we can do to help protect or prevent aging eyes. Now, what happens is this generally happens to everybody, and what happens is the muscles around the pupil called the ciliary muscles start to tighten up, and they lose their flexibility. So our lens that focuses the light onto the back of the eye, the refraction, isn't as flexible. So we basically lose that flexibility of the lens and of the muscle contraction. So what we want to do is exercise the muscles. So there are eye exercises that, you can go to my website or use my books. You can go to one of my colleagues, Mark Grossman. He has eye exercises. They're very, very simple exercises. It's basically looking near and looking far and doing figure eights with your eyes. You keep the eye muscles healthy and they will work better. Again, looking at screens freezes those muscles up. You're not moving them. So you want to look near, you want to look far. Looking at one flat dimension in space is going to accelerate that. That's why we tell people to take, kind of move around a little bit. Even while you're looking at your computer, look up, look down, look at things out the window, look near, look far. We want to constantly move our eyes around like that. And that will help if people commit to doing those exercises, that will really help delay and slow and improve that type of situation. The problem for me, to be honest, is always just getting people to commit to do the exercises. When people are like, I'll just wear readers. But that, it will help. And we need to, again, look at internal things, like are people dehydrated? Or are their oils in their body, their lubricants too low? Is that why the muscles are drying out? Is there inflammation? Is there oxidative stress? So we can do these eye exercises, but again, we want to use Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine and conventional biomedical testing to see if we could get some clues and indications into what's going on systemically so that we can deal with, again, the branch, which is the presbyopia, aging eyes, and what we can do systemically on an individual basis to help promote eye health.
That's such good news to hear. I'm actually going to get on the website right after we get off the call and look at those eye exercises and get going on those. I think this might be a great place to wrap up, but do you have any final thoughts or anything that would you be like the key take home or must know that we have not mentioned so far?
Yeah, well, in short, there is hope. Again, my whole big issue with this whole thing is that people are losing their vision and they're told that there's nothing they can do. Or, again, like we were talking about glaucoma, there's a necessity for complementary integrative medicine and where East works with Western medicine. Like, you need to go to your glaucoma guy, and then you need to do something with me or somebody like me who knows how to treat eyes who's going to work on the optic nerves. If there's no treatment, don't believe it. You know what I mean? It may work for you, may not work for you, but try it. If you're open to being proactive, some people are, some people aren't, and I respect either decision. My problem is the people who are told there's nothing available who want to do something, who want to take action, who want to do something to help preserve their vision or recover their vision. That's why we're getting this information out. That's why we're doing, talks like this and stuff like that, so people can hear that there are things available to them to help preserve their vision. So I appreciate you helping to spread that word.
We just have to keep spreading that word because it's just so important that there are options out there for people. And you're right, the ones that want to really engage in it and do it and want to help their vision, there's hope out there and they can do something about it. So that's a perfect place to end. And I'm so happy to be able to have you here. I'm going to talk before we say goodbye. I'm going to talk a little bit about the conference that we are all been talking about in the different webinar series, and Andy is going to be one of our great speakers there, and along with a stellar group of speakers. Each year is a terrific, unique experience, and I've been going for many years, and every year I gain so much from it. So the name of the conference is the Building Bridges for Traditional Chinese Medicine Conference, and this conference is going to be in Reston, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., and it's at the Hyatt Regency on Thursday, September 14th through Sunday, September 17th. And there's plenty of information online. Don't go on the screen too much, but you can go to tcmconference.org. And again, it's tcmconference.org. And you can find lots of information on our speakers, the agenda, and everything that's going to be going on during the conference. But it doesn't give you the whole entire picture of the conference because, again, the community and the people there really create the experience. One thing I want to mention is that for the callers tonight on this webinar, we are offering a special discount off the registration fee. So when you go on that website, again, don't spend too much time, on the registration page, you can enter the code LOYALTY with a capital L. That's LOYALTY with a capital L. And you will be able to get $60 off the registration fee. And so in order to get that discount, you need to do that by August 20th. So the conference is coming up really, really quickly. And that's going to give me a great opportunity, Andy, for me to meet you in person, which I'm really looking forward to. And again, really so much. You've given us a tremendous amount of information in such a short period of time. And I've just enjoyed greatly having you here. And we're so appreciative.
Yeah, I am so excited for this conference. I haven't been to one in a couple of years, and I can't wait. I'm really, really excited for it.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited to hear your talk and hear all the different speakers and just to, again, to create that community. So I'm going to say farewell and thank you again. Goodbye, Andy, and goodbye, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jill.
All right, take care.